Although our continent comprises 55 sovereign nations, our destinies are closely linked together. Globally, many still view Africa as one single entity and refer to us collectively as Africa. Is it any wonder that they do that? Look at the synergy that existed between us during Africa's era of liberation. One nation after another in quick succession declared freedom from colonial rule. Then again, when coup d'etat became fashionable, that tendency spread like a contagion through nearly every nation. We are each other's keepers, and this is why we need an institution that serves all but is beholden to none, the African Court of Human and People's Rights. Let us now consider the institution that safeguards our values and rights. Over the past two decades of its operation, the African Court of Human and People's Rights has proven time and again that it has the fortitude and courage to recalibrate our moral compass. We need that kind of oversight so that we remain observant and respectful of the rights and duties enumerated in the Articles of the Banjul Charter, to which all the continent's nations are signatories. That charter complements this court's mission. And so now we must empower the court to be the institution that stands guard over those ideals, protecting and preserving our greatest inheritance. And I'm proud that Ghana has contributed its share of legal minds to this august court over the years. Justice Sophia Akufo served from 2006 to 2014 and rose to the position of President of the Court. She later served as Chief Justice of Ghana from 2017 until her retirement in 2019. Justice Dennis Ejie, a countryman and a respected member of Ghana's Supreme Court, is currently serving a six-year term following his 2022 election. Africa has been blessed with many of the world's natural resources, including gold, silver, diamond, copper, cobalt, uranium, oil, lithium, and more. At times, it becomes easy to overlook that our most significant inheritance is our people and their cultural heritage. Those who have benefited from our continent for centuries have always understood this powerful truth. And that is why Patrice Lumumba, Eduardo Mondlane, Thomas Sankara, and Amilcar Cabral were assassinated. And that is why the Asantehene Nana Prempeh I and over 150 members of his clan, and later Nana Ya Asantewaa, were all banished from the Gold Coast to the Seychelles. Similarly, Omukama Kabalega of Bunyoro in Uganda was also banished to Seychelles. This is why Sam Nujoma was forced into exile from Namibia, and Nelson Mandela was imprisoned on Robben Island, which was a former leper colony off the coast of Cape Town in South Africa. And this is why Steve Biko was murdered in prison. We felt the absence of these individuals and recognized the potential that we lost as a result. What I refer to in my book as the lost decades of Africa was that period from the mid to late 70s until the early 1990s, when the brain drain occurred and the continent stagnated. The median per capita growth of developing African countries at the time was 0.0%. We felt the loss of those who left to seek better opportunities for themselves and their families. These were ordinary people from all walks of life, like architects, doctors, engineers, artists, business people, bankers and workers in the transportation and hospitality industries. Excellencies, honorable judges, imagine if Africa measured its wealth not by our natural resources, but by our people, valued individuals, free from oppression, conflict, persecution, and violence, and assured of the right to a life of dignity, liberty, and self-determination. What would that look like? How much differently would we see ourselves? What would that wealth mean for the strength and continued sovereignty of our nations? These are not just questions for a game of what if. They are based on the reality of Africa's near future. These are questions we must ask ourselves as leaders and citizens to determine the nations we are building and the world we wish to create for our children. By 2050, Africa's population will reach 2.5 billion, and more than a quarter of the world's population will be African.